is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. This January, our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball introduced their all-new CT Plus machine with a 21.5-inch touchscreen that allows players to train offline, build custom drills, compete in multiplayer mode, and view their stats in real time. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on their Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT Plus models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
This is Pete Gash, men's assistant basketball coach at the University of Maine, and you're listening to Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improve communication with your team. FastModel also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. FastModel Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klintzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel, and we are jumping out tonight after yet another disappointing Cavs loss that they pretty much, I don't want to say they threw it away, but man, this team is scuffling big time.
Yeah, they're scuffling. Listen, I can understand the three games prior without Donovan and Mitchell, but there is zero excuse to lose that game tonight, and I just hope Donovan's not hurt. That end of the game play.
Did you read his quote after the game?
What did he say?
It wasn't good. So here's what he said. Felt the same as before. I don't know what comes next. I felt good enough to come back, and for that to be the last 5 seconds of the game really makes me angry. It's definitely both frustration about the injury and my play, but more so the injury. I'm praying that I'm all right.
Yeah, that's not good, man.
No, not good. Not good.
So he's not playing the next few games, right? He's.
I mean, based on what you hear coming from that, it doesn't sound like he's going to play. And this team, I'm not really sure where they're at, because it feels like every game that they win, like, we haven't blown anybody out, even bad teams. I can't remember the last time we blew a team out and really had control of a game. Even the games we've won, it's been like we've been down 15 and then make some miraculous comeback. We have not played very well.
I think over the Pelicans. Well, the Pelicans games, I guess we were losing for a lot of that game. Hold on,
I'm saying we were down. We've been down in almost every victory.
I felt like the Suns game, that one we were in control of after halftime, right? Like we were. That game wasn't in doubt after halftime, right? Maybe I'm misremembering.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It just feels like this team, comparatively to where they were early in the season or even where they were last season during the beginning of the year, it just feels like they're kind of – I don't want to say they're on cruise control, but I just think that right now their bench is atrocious. Kevin Love has been just awful. He can't shoot, and defensively he's not moving, I don't think, as well as maybe he has in the past, and he's been a complete liability when he's on the floor. I'm about done with the Caris LeVert experience. I don't know how you're feeling about Caris, but he takes so many poor off-balance shots, and he just doesn't make things easier when he's out there on the floor. I feel like everything with him is a struggle and a force and a guy in your face, and I feel like they definitely need to upgrade that spot. Rubio hasn't really been great. He hasn't been the sort of driver that we thought maybe he would be. Now, again, it's early. He's coming back from an ACL, so I don't know what you could really reasonably expect from him, but it hasn't been good to this point. And Okoro missed the big three tonight where they were down three, and he does some good things, but teams still don't guard him, and so whoever's guarding him is still in there mucking up the lane and making it difficult for Mitchell and Garland to get to the basket.
The See, one I think positive. Here's, I would say Okoro's thing is this defense, though. I mean, he played really well on Brunson tonight. I thought he did a really good job on Brunson tonight.
He did. But this team needs, unfortunately, this team needs a guy that can play 90% of Okoro's defense and make open threes when it counts. Because with this offense, the way that this team's constructed, Jared Allen and Mobley have to be on the floor together. And since neither one of them can space the floor and shoot threes, if you're going to put a third guy out there that can't space the floor and shoot threes, things get really bunched up in the lane. It makes it really difficult for Mitchell and Garland to get all the way to the basket. And it feels like we haven't gotten nearly as many lobs recently to those two guys, just because I feel like the paint is always clogged up. And it honestly, when I watch this team right now, it feels very, very much like a four-man team. And every time we go to the bench, I'm left scratching my head looking for answers. What is going to happen? Every once in a while, once every three, four games, you get a good Caris LeVert game where he makes some shots. But other than that, there's been next to nothing coming off this bench. I mean, I'll be glad when Dean Wade comes back. It feels like Chetty should always get more minutes than he does.
Didn't Dean Wade play the other day? I feel like he played.
I don't know. Did he come back? Maybe.
I feel like he played, but I don't think.
I don't remember seeing him, but that doesn't mean I haven't watched every second of every game. So
I felt like he played in the Milwaukee game, but maybe I'm wrong. I'll check that. One quick stat I got. Danny Cunningham tweeted this tonight. He does a podcast, and he's an ESPN Cleveland beat reporter. The Cavs starting lineup tonight played 22 minutes together. When they were on the floor together, the starting five, Mike, they outscored the Knicks by how many points, do you think?
Well, I'm looking at the plus minus for the starters and the bench. So I'm going to guess it's a lot. I'm going to say by 16.
That is exactly correct. You had to have cheated, you cheater.
No, I'm just looking at the numbers. So
I'm just giving you a hard time. I know.
I'm just looking at the numbers. So here's the plus minus for the Cavs tonight. Evan Mobley, 0. Okoro, plus 18. Jared Allen, plus 15. Garland, plus 20. Mitchell, plus 12. Then off the bench, you bring in Kevin Love in 12 minutes, minus 20. And Kevin Love's 12 minutes. Dean Wade played tonight, 4 minutes, minus one.
He played 10 minutes Saturday. I didn't see his 4 minutes, but I didn't watch it. I only saw the last
2 minutes of the third quarter and then the fourth quarter. I was watching some other basketball tonight.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I'll just leave it there. Lamar Stevens, minus 6. Chetty Osman, minus 3. Ricky Rubio, an unfortunate minus 26 in 13 minutes, and LeVert minus 19 in 21 minutes. So I think we could safely say that the bench was not super productive tonight, and the fact that
it was 59-43 for the for those of you out there, then the final number is 59-43. Here's what I'm going to say. The bench is not productive right now. I've seen a lot of fans complaining about JB's rotations, but honestly, like, I'm not trying to bail JB out at all here. Like, but if his bench is playing this bad, like, what is he supposed to do? Like, what's the solution? Because we thought Ricky Rubio was going to be better than he's been. Now, listen, I agree with you in saying we can't jump to conclusions yet with him. Like, he's working through some stuff. Like, he's still got to figure it out. He's got to feel comfortable out there. This is his second ACL tear. He's also, I don't know, what, 36 years old, 35 years old, something like that. Like, we can't expect him to come out there after being injured and just go crazy. But at the same time, like, we expected him to be better. We expected Dean Wade to come off the bench. We expect Caris LeVert. Now, I've seen a lot of trades thrown out there, and does Caris LeVert? Okay, so I saw a trade today. It was Caris LeVert and Dylan Windler for Dougie McBuckets and someone else.
Dylan Windler.
Yeah, send Dylan Windler because of money.
Dylan Windler. I mean, Dylan Windler is just. I mean, I don't want to disparage Dylan Windler, but I mean, the guy's been hurt for 90% of his career here with the Cavs.
Well, that's why we trade him.
There you go. All right.
But I don't remember who the other person was. Like, does Doug McDermott excite you, Mike, over Caris LeVert?
No.
Or is it a lateral move, in your opinion?
That's a lateral move. Different players, right? McBucket's more of a shooter versus LeVert, more of a guy that can put it on the floor, theoretically more of a playmaker. The more I watch Caris LeVert, the more I feel like in high leverage moments in big games that I just don't trust him. And I know he's had some good games for the Cavs since he's been here, and he almost single-handedly beat the Celtics back in whatever, October, November. But I just don't trust. When I watch him play, I just think the decision-making and the shots that he gets, and it's just not what I'm looking for. I'm not sure I'd be excited about Doug McDermott being the guy. I know there's been thoughts of, can the Cavs somehow get Jay Crowder? I don't really want Jay Crowder.
We had that experience once.
Right. I just don't think that makes any sense. I guess my question to you is, when you look at what the Lakers traded today, or whatever that was yesterday, was it yesterday or today that trade went through?
I think it went through yesterday, and it was in, like, there was a press letter today. So
okay. So Rui Hachimura, say what you want about him. He's okay. He can score. He's averaging, I think I looked, 1.2 assists. So you're not getting much playmaking out of Rui. He's averaging like 4 rebounds. You're not getting much rebounding out of him. But he's a guy who can put the ball in the basket at a decent clip. But the Lakers were able to get him for Kendrick Nunn, a guy who's been in Los Angeles for 2 seasons and basically contributed, I would say, nothing. Is probably
Did you see that Wizards tweet about him welcoming Kendrick Nunn?
No, what did it say?
Wizards tweeted, this kind of playmaking coming soon, and it was him throwing a lob to someone, and then him nice. Dunking once in a Laker uniform. And I was like, that has to be like the one dunk he had is in Laker uniform. I thought it was hilarious.
There can't be many Laker highlights for Kendrick Nunn. I think you might have to reach back into your Miami Heat grab bag in order to find some Kendrick Nunn highlights. But it was three second-round picks, I believe, or two? So regardless, it was second-round picks. So you have a guy who's not really playing for you and 2 or 3 second-round picks to get a guy who's probably going to play for the Lakers. I know the Cavs have a bunch of second-round picks. Obviously, we can't trade any number one picks, but we have second-round picks to trade.
So what are you saying is you would have liked for us to trade for Rui Hachimura?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I don't think Rui Hachimura is the answer to this team's problems. What I'm saying is that Rui Hachimura is a rotation player, maybe on a semi-good team. Is there a guy out there, and I don't know the answer to this, and I don't want to start throwing names around, but I guess when I'm looking at it, saying the question is, if you were to package 2 or 3 second-round picks with a guy who could be part of a rotation. Let's say it's LeVert. Maybe somebody wants Kevin Love's expiring contract. I don't think we're going to trade Kevin Love, but let's just throw it out there. Lamar Stevens, a guy who's part of our rotation, but yet you feel like you could upgrade that position. So if you traded one of those guys plus some second-round picks, what's out there? Could you get a guy that maybe could actually fill that fourth spot where you make a Kuro your 6th or 7th man coming off the bench? And I don't know. I feel like this team, as constituted, if they're going to win a playoff series or multiple playoff series, you're looking at those top 4 guys are going to have to play 40-plus minutes every night in those playoff series in order for the Cavs to have any chance of being able to win a series. And I wouldn't have felt that way a month or two ago when these guys were playing a little bit better. But I don't know. From what you're seeing from this bench, it definitely feels like sometime between now and the trade deadline that the Cavs have to try to do something. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. But it feels like that they should be on the phone trying to get things done.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't know. Like you said, I don't know what's the piece. What does it for the Cavs and what's out there? Because everything I'm reading is that this is probably going to be a pretty stagnant trade deadline.
People are waiting for the CBA to be signed too. That's part of it.
Yeah.
Because people don't know what they can do with the luxury tax and how that's going to affect. And then there's some stuff with the extension rules where I know we talked about it when the Cavs traded for Donovan Mitchell, that because now you have Mitchell and Garland on those full max extensions, that you can't then offer the full max extension to Mobley. And so people, I think, are waiting to see whether or not maybe that collective bargaining agreement gets agreed to, or at least there's some things in place that give some teams some certainty as far as acquiring players and what that's going to look like in terms of the payroll.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is this. They're not playing well right now. But here's the other thing I say, Mike. Teams go through ups and downs. And obviously Mitchell being tonight, maybe they rushed him back to, I mean, he didn't look like 100% like himself. Although I can't wait to see the, once again, this is like the third time on the podcast of that. I can't wait to see the league last two minute report from the league, because I mean, he got hacked on those plays. Like that last one, Hartenstein's arms are at a 45 degree angle and he's not vertical and he's not.
Yeah, that's clearly like no, he's not.
That should have been a foul call, 100%. The second drive, I don't know so much about, but the first drive he had, I felt like he was fouled on that one too. And so the last 2 minute report is going to be interesting, and it's going to say once again that we got screwed by the refs at the end of the game. Probably should have had at least four free throws, if not maybe six for Mitchell. And
the bigger problem, though, is they just keep putting themselves in this position, right?
100%. The first quarter, they lost 34-27. They let friggin' Julius Randle hit five threes in the first quarter. Like, come on, guys. Like, and to be fair,
the defense on Randle was atrocious tonight. How do you not get up and make the guy put it on the floor?
Well, to be fair, though, the first two threes that he made was well defended. Then it was just like they were like taking steps back and not right up in his face. So it was poor. It was poor. Listen, he was the only one doing anything. And once again, like I thought Mobley played well on the defensive end of the floor. Offense was a little left. He's there. And this is coming off his best game on the offensive end of the floor. Like I texted you, great game for Mobley tonight when they played Milwaukee. Obviously, no Giannis helped, but I don't know. I think
he's been more decisive. Like even tonight in the fourth quarter, he had the one move where he put it on the floor from the top of the key and really looked more explosive. And got
I thought
the basket.
That shot was that buzzer beater. I thought that was going in. By the way, I thought he was going to make that.
He had a shot at it.
And it is what it is. Like they should have.
His play's been the most encouraging thing.
100%. And Garland hasn't been bad. I mean, he's putting double doubles up with assists, but the problem is with Mitchell out, those are the only two. And you know, tonight Allen looked good, but you know, we just something's
Mitchell
missing,
and Garland Mike. Shot 15. Mitchell and Garland shot 15 of 41.
Tonight,
you're not going to win games when those two guys are shooting 15 for 41. Yeah. You're just not. And this team's not good enough. We don't have enough firepower off the bench to be able to overcome that. And defensively, we just go through stretches. There was that stretch early in the fourth quarter where they just like five straight possessions.
I'll be honest with you, Mike. I turned it off. I turned it off when it was 91-80. I'm like, this game's over.
Yeah, like, it looked like they were just dead in the water. But this is what this team does, which I guess you could look at it as encouraging or discouraging. Like the encouraging part is they don't quit. They keep playing hard. There's no lead against them that feels like, they can't get back in it. And yet conversely, I think it goes back to what I said off the top, that this team is constantly falling behind and hasn't blown out anybody or taken control of a game, especially against a halfway decent team or better. in a long, long time. And that makes me nervous because I just feel like you're playing with fire when you keep on falling behind and falling behind and falling behind and relying on coming back. And then everything has to go perfectly in order for you to win. And tonight, it almost did. There were one or two plays that if they go the other way, if Mitchell makes one of those layups, if Okoro hits that three in the corner, there's just a few plays that if they would have gone their way that Cavs could have won. But that's why that's where you're putting yourself in that position, and that's what makes me a little bit nervous about where this team is right now. So I'm concerned. We're only two games ahead of the Heat right now. We're only three games ahead of the Knicks. And 2 weeks ago, I would have said it's an absolute certainty that we were going to finish in the top five, if not the top four. And now I'm not so sure. This team's going to have to figure it out. If Mitchell really did re-aggravate that groin tonight and he's going to miss a serious amount of time. We talked about how the month of January was going to be tough, that there was a lot of tough games in January and that the schedule sort of lightens up in February. But if you're playing a lighter schedule, even and you're not going to have Donovan Mitchell, even with that, it's going to be tough.
Yep, I agree. I agree, Mike. And they got to figure it out. They just got to figure it out. And listen, their next games is not like they can't take Houston lightly. They need to play Houston because Houston can score 100. And I think they've scored 140 points, the most in the league. They might suck, but they've scored a lot of points in games. So we better come focused for the defensive end of the floor, and hopefully they rebound. So I guess let's predict the next this week, Mike, based on what we know. And then I do have my top, you know, my
right,
win share ones too. So
okay. Yep, let's do that.
So
next.
We got Thursday, we got Houston. That's a win, right? That's got to be a win.
I hope so.
At Houston. Okay. Then Friday they're at Oklahoma City.
That's a loss.
All right.
Back to back. Probably going to rest a bunch of guys. I'm guessing we lose that one.
Okay, Sunday, home against the Clippers.
Kawhi and Paul George both playing tonight. What's the Clippers' schedule? Let's see who the Clippers play right before that. Where are the Clippers at?
The Clippers play Atlanta the night before.
Oh, that's a win.
Yeah, because the Atlanta game is... No, it's not on national TV, but...
Yeah,
I still think that's a win. Yeah, because okay. So we're gonna say that's a win on Sunday. Although
that's
Golden State's not starting their players didn't mean anything, but
yeah, it didn't. that was just absolutely. I mean, again, that's an example of that. That is atrocious, and I don't know where you put the blame for that, but that was atrocious.
Okay, and then
you
next Tuesday, listen, we're gonna just keep doing these pods after Cavs games. Tuesday, big game, the Heat at home.
I'm gonna say you win. I'm gonna say you win that one.
Okay, so you're saying you're sticking with the 3-1.
I'm sticking with the 3. I'm sticking with the 3-1.
That's what
I'm
you did last week, and they went the opposite. I'm gonna go 2-2.
I'm trying to be optimistic.
I'm gonna be honest with you when I say I don't know which games we're gonna screw up and which games we're gonna win, but we're gonna go 2-2 in this 4. That's what
okay.
I'm going with.
Sounds fair.
All right. Now we've led off with 21 minutes about the Cavs. Let's move to the top 5 win shares of the New York Knickerbockers. And let me just tell you, Mike. Let me just tell you.
All right.
They are all relatively old school. No one in the new era at all. I mean, which probably doesn't surprise you. The newest person on the list, Mike, the newest person on the list is Allen Houston. And he's number 10.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
So, all right.
All right. Walt Frazier.
Walt Frazier is number 2.
Patrick Ewing.
He's number 1.
Now it gets interesting. So I'm just trying to think of where to go with the era of how long guys played. Dave DeBuscher.
He's not in the top 5. Let's see here. He's not in the top 12.
Bill Bradley.
Not in the top 12.
Really? Earl Monroe.
He is number 12.
Okay. Anthony Mason.
Not on the list.
Wow. Larry Johnson.
Not on the list.
Oh, my gosh. Willis Reed.
Ah, there you go. Number three.
Oh, man.
This guy's been kicked out of Madison Square Garden.
Charles Oakley.
Charles Oakley, number five.
Okay, so I'm missing one more guy.
You're missing number four. I'm going to give you, because this guy, I'll be honest with you, Mike, I don't know that I would even know. I'm gonna pull up his Rat Basketball reference page here.
Okay, so so wait, hold on. So I'm assuming this guy that you're talking about is not from the Patrick Ewing era.
Oh, no. This guy predates.
Jerry Lucas.
Nope. Hold on. Oh, it's not. Oh, wait. I'm going to. Okay. He doesn't have his nickname would be the horse or farmer.
Okay. Well, that I got nothing because
he played in the 40s and 50s for the New York Knicks. And then he finished his career in Detroit.
All right. I got nothing.
Harry Gallatin. Have you ever heard of that guy?
I don't believe so. He's what number?
Number. Four. He's number four.
Four.
He was a seven-time All-Star. He was a two-time All-NBA.
Okay.
He is in the Hall of Fame.
All right.
1954 NBA TRB champ. I don't know what that means. TRB.
Total rebounds. All right. Just give me the rest of the. Give me the entire list.
Okay, hold on. Let me. I got to go back now, so this might take me a second. Come on. Okay, so number six, Carl Braun.
Got nothing there.
Number seven, this one you know, Bill Cartwright.
Okay.
Number eight, Kenny Sears.
Kenny Sears.
Number nine, Richie Guerin.
These are all old school guys.
Number 10, Allen Houston, we already said. And number 11, someone you missed in the Ewing era, but you kind of figured out it wasn't from Ewing. John Starks.
Yeah, Starks. I should have said Starks probably over. Yeah, wow. All right.
The New York Knicks, the Enigmas. That's what we're going to call them. The Enigmas, people that don't know.
Well, the lost era of Knicks basketball since the Patrick Ewing days. It's been a desert of winning there with the New York Knicks and James Dolan. So,
yeah, for sure. All right, so I guess we kind of already talked about the Rui Hachimura trade, Mike. Do we want to spend any more time on that, or do we?
Let's just ask the question. Let me ask you this: Does it?
No.
Matter in any way, shape, or form.
It does not matter in any way, shape, or form. Because, the Lakers, and we're going to get to talking in a minute here about a little Dame time situation. But, the Lakers are still the pitiful. And, looking at the West, let's look at the West here really quickly.
The Lakers are two games out of fifth.
Behind Golden State.
Going in the night, they're two games out of fifth.
Listen, Mike, I'm telling you, I told you that would it surprise me? Look
at the Western Conference.
Would it surprise me? Mike, I'm saying it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Would it surprise me for the Lakers to make it that they don't even have to play the play-in game? Would it surprise me? Yes.
Would it surprise you or would it surprise me?
Would it surprise me?
Or would it surprise anyone?
The answer is it would surprise me. However, it's not even like something that we can even say we know for sure is not going to happen because the Western Conference is a hot mess.
Look at the Western Conference. Okay, here's your number of losses. Phoenix Suns, fifth place, 24 losses. The Clippers, sixth place, 24 losses. The Mavericks, seventh place, 24 losses. The Jazz, eighth place, 25. Minnesota, ninth place, 25. Golden State, 10th place, 24. Oklahoma City, 24 losses. The Lakers, 25 losses. The Trailblazers, 25 losses. So you're talking about teams 5 through 13 have either 24 or 25 losses. That is incredible mediocrity for the Western Conference.
It's like the NFL this year, Mike. Like the NFL this year was like this. Like teams were fighting playoff spots. And listen, obviously with the playoffs going on right now, the cream has risen to the top. And it's
happening. Yeah, the four best teams in the NFL are in the final four. Let's put 100%. It that way.
100%. But, like, it's going to happen in the NBA, too. But it's just like, I mean, here's what I'm saying. Are you excited at all, Mike, about any of the possible Western Conference first round matchups? Like, well,
are we taking a look at what we have right now?
Yeah, let's just go with 1 through 8 right now. Are you excited about Denver, Utah? Because my answer is hell no.
No.
Are you excited about Memphis, Dallas? I could probably be excited about that.
That series could be entertaining. Okay.
Are you excited about Sacramento and the Clippers? Like, I'm excited for Sacramento that they're.
Yeah, I'd be mildly excited to watch
the Sacramento Kings, Mike. I'm stamping it right now. They are in the playoffs. They're 27-19. There is no way, right? There's no way they fall out of the top six at this point, right?
Barring injury, yeah. There's no way.
Yeah. Okay. The Pelicans.
Although they're really only 3.5 games up on like 10 teams.
Yeah, but but here's the thing though. They've got the wins situation. They've got wins. They've only got, you know, they've played less games than other teams, and I got that. I get that. But listen, I'm willing to stake my claim here, Mike. They're not out of the top six at the end of this.
None of those three teams are out of the
top six.
I agree.
The Pelicans and the Suns. Are you excited about the Pelicans and the Suns? Because I'm excited about the Pelicans. I'm not excited to watch the Suns play basketball. Maybe I'll be excited to watch the Pelicans destroy the Suns. But, like, are you excited about that series?
That was a fun first-round series last year with no Zion. I wouldn't be excited to watch this series as these two teams sit today with no Zion and Brandon Ingram for the Pelicans and no Devin Booker for the Suns. I probably would watch next to nothing of that series if these two teams are constituted the way they are now. But you bring back those three players, and that becomes a lot more compelling series. I think there's just a lot of mediocre teams that could theoretically be, oh, that should be fun to watch the Warriors and Steph, or LeBron and the Lakers, or Dame and the Trailblazers, or Luka and the Mavericks, or PG and Kawhi with the Clippers. But who knows with any of these teams and what they're going to be, and are these guys going to be healthy? And it just feels like all these teams are flawed. And I guess when I look at this morass in the Western Conference, maybe it makes me feel like maybe I shouldn't be as down on the Cavs as I am. But, man, this Western Conference is a mess.
Okay, so my next question, Mike.
Okay.
Is there any of those teams that we mentioned that you would prefer to see the Lakers play because LeBron's on the team? Would you prefer the Lakers to play over any of the teams that we mentioned? Utah, yeah?
If we saw,
you mean Laurie Markkanen a lot, so you want?
You mean who would I like to see him play in a series, or who would I like to see him replace?
Would you take their Lakers? Like, if you had to pick a team that the Lakers got to take their place?
Okay, so I'm moving a team out of the playoffs or out of the play-in.
You're swapping the Lakers for regardless of.
Yeah, I'd probably put the Jazz out first because obviously you'd want to see Luka with the Timberwolves. You at least get to see Anthony Edwards, and then. As much as I dislike the Warriors, I don't think it still would be compelling to see the Warriors as an 8 seed playing against Denver, as a 7 seed playing against Memphis.
What about the Lakers? Would you have any interest in them moving in over Utah, or would you rather have Utah?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think Utah would be the one team that I'd move out. If I had to move a current team that's in the play-in and move the Lakers in, I'd probably move out the Jazz. Now, the Jazz has been a great story and whatever, but I'm not that excited to watch Utah Jazz basketball.
Okay.
As good as they've been, and Markkanen's been fantastic, but he's not a draw for me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough, Mike. Fair enough. I just thought I'd ask the question, so good.
The first training camp Elite Skill Development and Performance Combine will be held on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio. Powered by Unleash Potential and the Hoopheads podcast. The camp is designed for boys rising to grades 6 through 9 and will take place June 29th through July 1st, 2023. An emphasis on improving individual skills in the context of a team environment will be the hallmark of the training camp. Mike Klinzing from Head Start Basketball and the Hoopheads podcast and Joe Stecision from Unleash Potential will serve as the camp directors of this inaugural training camp. campers can expect 3 days of hard work, intense skill instruction, and learning how to be a great teammate on and off the court at the training camp. Players will participate in 10 elite skill development sessions led by some of the best coaches from across the country. Visit headstartbasketball.com to get registered.
All right, so the other night, speaking of Lakers, okay, the other night, the Lakers were losing to the Portland Trail Blazers 71-46, and Dame was showboating and doing his Dame time thing, and it was the first half, and yeah, that didn't end well for the Portland Trail Blazers. The final score, Mike, of that game, I'm going to pull it up here because I don't remember the exact final, and I want to make sure that I'm accurate on the final score of that game. The final score of that game. Oh man, this is embarrassing. Where is it? I thought it was Monday night, but maybe. Oh, it was 121-112 Lakers. They ended up winning the third quarter. Okay, so in the first quarter, the Lakers were up 33-26. In the second quarter, the Lakers got outscored 45-13. And then in the third quarter, the Lakers outscored the Blazers 40-20. And in the fourth quarter, the Lakers outscored the Blazers 35-21. LeBron had 37-11 in that game. But at the end of the game, Patrick Beverley decided to mock Dame Lillard and do like his Dame time thing. He was poking at his watch and then he was shaking it like it was broken. And it has spilled over into social media where people, and I guess they had a feud before. Do you remember them having a feud before? I don't remember them having a feud before, but apparently
I'm not sure. Pat Bev hasn't had a feud with just about everybody, so not surprising he's had one with Dame.
So it spilled over, it's just comical more than anything. It's just the bottom line is this. I enjoyed it just because. Because it's Patrick Beverley, and as much as he is a little nuisance, and it was just kind of funny. And yeah. Dame, they were showboating in that second quarter. And listen, deservedly so. If I was winning 45-13 in a quarter, I probably would be showboating too. However, you gotta finish the job a little bit there. So I don't know if you have any take on Patrick Beverley or your opinion of Patrick Beverley that you would like to share with the podcast audience, but. I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed watching the clips of that. Although I will say this. I don't know. I know you – did you see the clip of the third grade team, the AAU third grade team?
Yes.
As much as I enjoyed Patrick Beverley doing this, it does have me concerned that these kids – and I don't know what's going on in that AAU league, and I don't want to like specifically – I mean, I know
that's not a problem with the kids. That's a problem with the adults.
That's 100%. They're allowing that. Those kids are wearing $250 shoes. By the way, did you notice that, Mike? Did you know that?
I'm not up on the sneaker. I'm not as up on the sneaker culture.
Those are $250 shoes, Mike. I was talking with my team about that, and I like we play like when we play in practice. I had one kid do like the Mellow 3 thing one time, and I said, "Listen, we're not going to do that. If I see that in a game, like I'm pulling you out. Like we're not going to do that. Like."
Right.
Like it's
wait,
it's,
you're teaching kids to play the right way?
Oh yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Oh,
man?
I lost by one tonight, but I'm trying to teach them the right way to play. But I couldn't believe like that there's people that are letting these like and the fact that they're third grade kids, like, come on. Like someone's gotta be like a parent. I can't believe the parents of kids on that team. There's got to be one same
parents
person.
Are probably doing the same thing in the stands to the other parents.
There's got to be one parent in the stands thinking, "Oh my god!" Like that's not on the opposing team. That's thinking.
Oh, there this is that parent already left the team.
All right.
That parent already pulled their kid off that team. That's where that parent is.
But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to get on a sidebar, but I did enjoy this Pat Beverley thing. So maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but it is the NBA and it is entertainment. Like third grade basketball is not. NBA, not entertainment. I don't know. I don't know what you think about that, but
I'm not a big fan of Patrick Beverley. But I get it. When another team is going to showboat, then guess what? You got to be ready to take it if it blows up in your face and it backfires. And so, look, I'm sure Dame didn't lose any sleep over it. And I'm sure Pat Beverly had a lot of fun doing that, and the fans were entertained, and it's been something that has kept social media entertained for the last couple of days. But again, it is what it is. Like you said, it's the NBA, and whatever, guys are talking to each other all the time. It's part of the game. It's part of the culture. And sometimes it spills over into a little bit more demonstrative displays. And that's what happened in this case.
And the other team, that the Memphis Grizzlies, listen, I get that they're playing well. You saw what happened with LeBron, right? I sent that to you. They were talking stuff to LeBron.
Yeah.
Desmond Bane needs to chill out, man. He's got to chill out a little bit. Like, I don't know, but he's saying something to LeBron, and then LeBron dunks on JJJ. Oh, that was
There's a brawl waiting to happen.
Memphis
Grizzlies. Yeah, there's a brawl. There's a brawl waiting to happen where something's gonna go big, because they like to talk. And look, they're good, man. There's no doubt. But they definitely like to talk, and they don't back down. And they got a lot of guys that there's not a lot of peacemakers on that team. There's a lot of guys that are going to rile people up. And then obviously the big other brouhaha with Shannon Sharp, which, I mean,
Dude, what's the brouhaha? Was the brouhaha with Shannon Sharp and the players, or Shannon Sharp and his sweater vest?
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing was just, I mean, to be honest, it's pretty much of an embarrassment for both parties. And then I don't understand. Look, I know it's Shannon Sharp and he's on TV and he's an ex-athlete and all this other stuff, but any other
person sitting in the stands
would have been immediately tossed, and if not just tossed for that game, but potentially banned from ever entering the arena ever in their life again. And the fact that, whatever, 15 minutes later, Shannon Sharp's back sitting down in his seat is sort of an embarrassment for the NBA, honestly, when you look at the totality of what we're talking about in terms of they're always worried about fan behavior and people saying this and saying that to players, and you shouldn't be able to do that. And look, we still don't know for sure what precipitated it and what exactly was said at the beginning and how it got to that point where it did.
Well, then T. Morant came over and gave him a hug, like in the middle of the third quarter. So
yeah, I don't know. Again, it's something that I don't want to spend a whole ton of time on it, but it just feels like there was a complete double standard for how Shannon Sharp was treated as a fan.
LeBron's gotten people kicked out of. Now, I'm guessing that Shannon Sharp didn't go as far as like people who have said things like threatening things about LeBron's kids, but at the same time.
Yeah, I don't think he was doing that, but it's still.
It's a double standard. I understand the point you're making. I understand.
Yeah, it just doesn't. I mean, again, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, what's the point of that? And if you're the Grizzlies and you're playing the game, what's the point of jawing back and forth with the guy who's in the stands? Just close your mouth and play.
Did you see what, I don't remember who it was, it might have been Desmond Bane actually, who said, oh, he's a blogger or whatever. Like, does he not realize that Shannon Sharp is a Hall of Fame NFL player?
Who knows what these guys know or don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Anyways, all right, so speaking of shade, I have to read the tweet from the Miami Heat tonight, Mike.
Okay,
Heat beat the Celtics tonight. You know that? Know that?
Okay. I did know that. 99-95.
Miami Heat's official Twitter account tweeted out the Heat win 98-95 graphic, and this is the the text that was posted with it. Celtics gave away the ball 17 times in the narrow loss to the Heat in a matchup that the Celtics had a chance to win if they didn't again generate self-inflicted wounds.
Nice.
Someone wrote, Andy and Pat, give this admin a raise.
There you go.
So that's it. I thought that was good, man.
Heat are playing well, man. They're on the Cavs' heels. They're playing really well as of late. And so it's not, I mean, I don't think it's too surprising. Most people clearly had Miami in that solidly in the top six of the Eastern Conference, considering they were the number one seed last year. And the fact that they're creeping up there, I think most people, if you go back to the preseason, most people expected the Heat to finish ahead of the Cavs. And let's hope that doesn't happen. But as we talked about earlier, if Miami keeps playing this well and the Cavs don't kind of figure out what they're doing, and if Mitchell's out for any extended period of time, Miami's going to be right there pushing the Cavs for that spot. And We'll just have to see. And Brooklyn's scuffling a little bit too, obviously, without Durant. But still, after tonight's loss, but the Cavs are still a game and a half ahead of Brooklyn.
Hey, LeBron scored 43 tonight. LeBron James became the first player in league history to score 40 or more points against all 30 NBA teams.
Interesting. Wow. That's pretty good. Again, another testament to just LeBron's longevity and greatness over that longevity.
Hey,
incredible
guess what?
Incredible career.
Guess
incredible. What?
He's going to have an incredible finish to his career.
You think so?
He's coming home, buddy. I'm telling you.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Hey, there's a good quote from Rob Pelinka. I don't know if you've seen this quote. This is another good one.
Oh, is this about the trade?
It's a classic. This is a classic. This is a quote. Rob Pelinka, Rui Hachimura move doesn't mean our work is finished. Really, Rob? You're saying Hachimura isn't the guy that's going to...
He's not the end game?
...push your team over the top? He's not the one missing piece to the title that you were trying to get. So congratulations, Rob, for figuring that one out. Good work, buddy.
Yeah. Listen, I'm telling you, LeBron's going to be a Cavalier. I'm saying within the next year and a half. I'm bold. I'm going bold here, Mike. Going bold.
All right.
Would you all listen? Right. So here's my question. You put LeBron on with those four that you mentioned before. What team in the East is winning over that four? With LeBron.
Man, I don't know. I don't know. Look, LeBron's been fantastic, and
You're scared of the question. What team in the East would you take if LeBron is on this team with Garland, Mobley, Allen, and Mitchell?
I don't know if I'd take anybody, but
I mean, even if you're getting LeBron and you're like, listen, and he has to know, he's going to know. I know right now he can't because he doesn't have the luxury of doing so. I mean, he has been doing a lot of like games off, like taking games off because of injury management or whatnot. But if he comes to a team like the Cavs, I genuinely believe, I know he's not done it in his past, but he's going to get to that point where he's going to say, all right, I'm going to start. He's not coming off the bench. I'm going to start, and I'm going to play 25 minutes a night until the playoffs. And I've got the luxury of having four other guys that can carry the load, but I'll be out there for 25 minutes a night, and we'll do it. I'm telling you, Mike, it's happening. It's happening. The tea leaves have begun.
he played 33 minutes tonight, and he scored 46, and he had 8 rebounds and 7 assists. It's ridiculous. Like I still maintain that I just don't see any scenario, unless he just falls off a cliff, where he's not going to be the guy, where he's not going to want to have the ball, where he's not going to want to have other people deferring to him. And look, maybe that would be an ideal situation for all these guys. I don't know. I don't know. I can go back and forth on it. There's a part of me that says, wow, he would be almost the perfect player that you could put into that slot, right? And yet, at the same time, if you bring LeBron in, I mean, I guess if he comes here as a free agent or you're not trading or giving up anything for him, then fine. But the window, well, I don't even know if you could say the window is going to be short. Like, Father Time's undefeated, but man, LeBron just keeps punching him in the gut. LeBron's going to make him go old school boxing 15 rounds in order to knock him out. This is insane. What he's doing is insane.
If LeBron plays till he's 45, Mike, we're going down this rabbit hole. If he plays to 45, There's no one that's going to even touch any record that he has. I know that he's not going to have the championship record unless he does. That's the other. That would be the other argument, Mike. If he comes to Cleveland and they have Mobley under contract forever, okay? They have Garland under contract forever. You could theoretically build around an aging LeBron and those two guys, okay? And he could win. He could win 2-3 championships. And then he's got Jordan. Once again, I'm not saying that makes him the greatest, but if at this point he wants to even have that discussion, he's got to know that he can't stay where he's at. He's not going to win. They have like no picks. Like, he's got to move on. And there's not a better situation. And honestly, I don't know what the Lakers.
Is Bronny going to Ohio State?
Tea leaves, baby. Let's go.
Seems like it's looking pretty likely that that's where Bronny's going to end up. So,
I mean, Bronny, I don't know if you've watched Ohio State play foot basketball lately. He might bail based on what's been going on. But
yeah, they haven't played well for sure. It hasn't been a good season for Ohio State basketball. But nonetheless, Bronny comes to Ohio State next year. Makes it a little bit more palatable for LeBron, I guess, to theoretically be here. But that would necessitate a trade. And the Cavs are not going to be able to pull off any kind of trade for LeBron. He would have to come here on his own, which means he wouldn't be able to come here until after next season. Which at that point, you'd have, I think Donovan Mitchell would only have one more year left on his contract.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying, I think he's going to be here.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. You were right the last time, so.
Yeah, I was going to all those Head Start camps and telling you LeBron, that he's coming back.
You're the LeBron whisperer, so you must have some kind of inside connection.
Well, I know the cookie lady that knows the barber. That knows.
All right, well, there you go. That's all that matters, man. That's all that matters. You know somebody at the barber shop, you're in.
Yeah. So anyways, on that note, Mike, the only other thing I wanted to talk about was the announcement about the NBA All-Star Game. Is there anything else that you wanted to hit on? I mean, we're nearing the 50-minute mark here. I don't know. Is there anything else that we missed that we need to talk about?
I don't think there's any other big things going on. Philly's been playing really well in the East. I think the rise of the Sixers up the schedule, up the standings, kind of like almost eerily reminiscent of the Celtics last year. And I know that we've denigrated the Sixers repeatedly on this podcast and for good reason, and whatever they do in the standings doesn't really matter, but I think we have to at least make mention that they've been playing really, really well and they're up to second in the East. So kudos to Philly for their regular season. Godspeed to you in the playoffs, Philly fans, because it ain't happening, but they're moving up the standings.
You still have the Eagles, right?
Still have the Eagles. I guess that's a good point. Still have the Eagles. So I don't know. Other than that, there's not a whole lot really that I think is going to happen. Obviously, soon in the next week or two, trade deadline's coming our way, and we'll see if there's any teams that are out there going to make deals. But, you know, we kind of hit on, I think, all the major things that have been going on as far as storylines right now. So let's go ahead and hit that All-Star thing, and then we'll get out.
Yep. Oh, there's video of LeBron on the bench, the bench after the game. And he looks like he's in mourning. He scored 43 points and his team lost by 15 to 20 points. Oh, God. It's like the
still
old.
It still goes back to, I don't know why he signed that extension.
It's idiotic to me. Like, if all the moves that he's made, and listen, he's made some dumb ones, okay? He's made the move with, the decision, like that's a dumb move, okay? All his other moves have been very calculated. He's relatively calculated. This was not a calculated move. It was just
at least not from a basketball standpoint, right? I mean, if you're talking about putting yourself in the best basketball position in order to be able to win, then this extension certainly doesn't make sense. If he's already made up his mind that I'm staying in LA for the rest of my career, then fine. But that remains to be seen. And whether he ends up in Cleveland or he ends up somewhere else, who knows? Maybe he'll just end up with the Lakers for the rest of his career. And at some point he'll come out and say, hey, I signed that extension because I knew I wasn't going anywhere. I knew I was staying in LA for the rest of my career. And clearly that's where he's going to live and for the rest of his life. But whatever, maybe he takes a 1 or 2 season sojourn somewhere else, depending on what Bronny does. So,
yeah.
All right. All-Star game.
All-Star game. So the announcement came out today that they're going to be doing the All-Star game as a pick'em. They're a playground pick'em right before the game as part of the play, as part of the pregame segment.
So here's the question TNT. For you. Here's the question. Is this going to be LeBron and either Giannis or KD, whoever top, it ends
up
being?
It's the top two vote getters, one top vote getter in the East and the West. So that's definitely LeBron.
So it looks like it's going to be LeBron and either Giannis or Durant. So here's my question, because I can envision it in two ways. And at least in the articles that I've read, I haven't seen which version of this it's going to be. Is it going to be live before the game where those two guys are like sitting in a locker room and now we've got
the
whole
roster?
No,
they're going to do it on the court.
Like those guys are going to be standing there like it's on a playground.
Yes,
and be like,
I'll take this guy. That's the way that I've interpreted it. That's awesome. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool. Let's put it this way. That would be, I mean, I guess if you're LeBron or Giannis or KD, you don't really care about offending anyone, or obviously they've had some comments made and they've made their comments during past draws, but to stand up there and then pick guys.
Rudy Gobert is going to be the last pick. I'm telling you right now.
Rudy Gobert is not going to be in the All-Star game this year. I don't think you have to worry. I feel pretty confident Rudy will not be an All-Star this year.
Well, I saw someone say, I can't wait for Rudy Gobert to be the last pick.
No, Rudy is not going to be in the All-Star game this year.
I think there's got to be multiple reasons for this, but I think the big one's probably this makes it fairer for the injuries, because like LeBron and KD have picked in the past, and then like someone's been injured and they're not playing in the game, and then like they pick a forward, or they pick a big guy, and they end up with a tiny guy, and then it's like, well, now my team's balanced. Now, once again, it is the All-Star game, so who really cares? But I think this is pretty cool, and I think I like the concept. I think I read.
Yeah, well, the people that are getting picked are going to actually play in the game.
Yeah. So that's part of. Let me see if I can find. I thought I read that this was going to happen at like 6:30. Oh, Steven Adams is out for 3 to 5 weeks.
I did see that. Yeah. That doesn't help Memphis for sure. He's been a big part of their success.
And Durant's out for another at least 2 weeks.
And so is Zion.
I thought I read that it was going to take place. I thought I read that it was going to take place at like 6:30 p.m. and the game starts at 7. So like it can't be.
Yeah, the article that I'm looking at on ESPN doesn't say anything about the times.
Okay, the NBA and NBA announced that the NBA will air the 2023 NBA All-Star Draft as a new live game pregame sentence at 2023 game on Sunday, February 19th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The game starts at 8.
All right, well, there you go.
The two captains will draft players prior to tip-off. So I guess maybe it won't happen on the floor, although that would be freaking awesome. I really hope they do that.
Yeah, it would be fun to see them all standing at half court and LeBron's on one side, Durant's on the other, saying, hey, I'll take this guy, I'll take that guy. That would be really fun. Plus, it would make it, I think, look, that's how a lot of us play basketball, right? Or played basketball back in the day where, hey, we're just picking up teams.
When
you
used to play on the playground.
When you used to play on the playground. So I think it's fun. And clearly those guys will have fun with it. And like you said, after all, it's an all-star game. You try to do things that make it as fun as possible. I'm still sort of nostalgic for the East versus West, just because I think that for whatever it's worth, I think there was some silly pride that went along with that. And obviously that's gone away in recent years as they've tinkered around with all these different formats. But this is at least a fun wrinkle if they do it in front of everybody and they do it out.
I like the Elam ending a lot.
Elam ending is good. I agree.
All right. Anything else, Mike?
Nope. I think that's it.
Bye-bye, Joe Woods. Bye-bye, Joe Woods. Do you want to comment on that at all, Mike?
I mean, whatever. You bring in Jim Schwartz from previously head coach of the Detroit Lions. So as a borderline Lions fan, I'm not sure that Jim Schwartz was a great head coach. So hopefully he'll do a better job as a Browns defensive coordinator.
He was the defensive coordinator of the champion Philadelphia Eagles, though, Mike.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. Let's leave it there. I got nothing else to say about the Browns, and we'll leave our Browns segments for, I guess what, the next thing will be free agency or the draft. Or
the draft.
I guess the draft doesn't matter to the Browns at this point. So anyway, all right, let's leave it there. Thanks for checking out tonight's NBA episode of the Hoopheads Pod, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.